you too. Summertime and the living is easy. Fish are jumping and the cotton.
Hello, friends. This is the Helping Friendly Podcast, another one of our quick hits. This time we're talking about the second night at the Man, which everybody probably knows, pretty interesting show. And we have with us today, of course, RJ, who is at these shows, and Matt Dwyer, who is MD Funk on Twitter. Did I get that right?
That's it.
That's right. Thanks for joining us. And he also was at the show. And before we jump right in, I just want to, you know, thank everybody for listening and tell everybody, you know, make sure you're checking out the, if you haven't already, that Fish Companion Volume 3 is out and amazing, and we're pretty excited about it. Think you should be too. So, guys, interesting show last night. I thought there was some really great stuff, and they seem to be having a lot of fun. And Matt, why don't you tell us your thoughts?
Yeah, so thanks, guys, and thanks for having me on again. I think, you know, for me, first and foremost, the Man is a very, very special place. I grew up very close to there, and so it's about as close to a real hometown show as I get. It's also happens to be where I had my first live fish experience, even though it wasn't actually Fish with Trey Band live in 2001. So it's really nice to get back there, and it's such a beautiful place. I thought last night's show was really good. Unfortunately, hit a little bit of the fourth quarter slump in the second half of the second set with the multiple lines. But the cross-eyed jam was really, really good. I'm kind of a sucker for cross-eyed, so it's always great to hear that one go deep. Enjoyed the new tunes, and I thought that the Harry Hood jam was really, really fantastic. The peak of that was something like we haven't heard from Hood in a real long time, including Mike stomping on the Taurus pedals just to give a little bit extra. It seemed to kind of send the crowd in overdrive, but I liked it. I know that there's some people out there that they see both of those line songs and they start to poo-poo the show, but it was fine for me.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I was texting someone earlier about this. Like, if you can enjoy a show like that, or any of these shows really, then I you just got problems with expectations. Like, I don't know what you're expecting, but this is Fish, like, having fun, like you said, playing well, doing whatever they want in a good way. And I don't know, I thought the first set was pretty cool, like a Reba that we've been waiting for, and just a lot of variety and a lot of really good playing. I thought the Reba jam was great. And, you know, the cross-eyed, it just kept going. I thought it was going to go into Piper for a while, and I didn't know what was going on, which is always a good sign. And to your point, Matt, about the venue, I was right behind, like, in front of the terrace section behind the pavilion proper. And it was just really, we had great space, a lot of good people, a lot of good dancing and just hanging out. And it was just a really lovely, lovely time.
And, you know, we got three new songs last night, which I thought, you know, that's a big number, but they're interesting songs. I'd like to hear your thoughts on them. Waking Up the Dead was the new Mike and Scott Murawski song, which I think has some interesting music. I haven't quite sussed out the lyrics, although I did hear mentioned lines in that one. And then we had Friends, which is the Fishman sung tune, which sounded like Sparks at the very beginning.
Yeah.
And then Tide Turns, which is it's another Trey ballad, but it sounds like a 70s soul tune that just, you know, really could use some horns, maybe to have them on the record. What do you guys think about these?
Yeah, I agree about Tide Turns. I was actually just listening back to that a couple minutes ago, and it sounds very soulful. I would expect that that's probably another one that maybe we get those Muscle Shoals horns on the album.
Definitely.
I think for all of those, and particularly that tune probably points it out. I'm really interested to see how this new album turns out. Because last time when they worked with Bob Ezrin, they really had all the material written, and he just kind of helped them pare it down for the album and obviously arrange and record it. This time he apparently a very big part of the actual songwriting process. So I'm interested to see how his experience shapes some of this stuff. The other thing I was thinking is that the tune Friends, which we all just kind of mentioned, sounded like Sparks when they were going into it. Once they actually got into the song itself, it sounded to me almost like a cross between like a Syd Barrett tune and a Clash tune. It had this sort of like punk edge to it, which is really, really neat. So I'm excited to see where they wind up taking that one.
Yeah. I mean, the thing about new songs live is it just, at least for me, it takes me a while to kind of figure out what's going on. And like the first listen through after is like when I start to, like when you're there, it's just, you know, if you never heard a song before, it's just sort of like, all right, I don't know. It takes me a while to figure it out, I guess. But it was pretty good. The Mike song was pretty good. That was the first set, right? What was it called? Like when you were talking about straight
waking
lines.
Waking Up Dead was the name of the song.
Waking Up Dead. Yeah, another, the Fisherman song was just bizarre, like Matt said, like, I mean, but in a good way. The Trey ballads, I don't know, I feel like they're all kind of interchangeable at this point, but maybe I should give them more of a chance than I do.
I think a lot of people probably could stand to give them more of a chance, but I'm happy to take whatever heat I've earned by saying that.
I will say that we got, you know, the number line thing, it's one of the things that just, like, pisses me off when I'm at shows and they play a number line and people get like upset, you know. And I told someone was disappointed who was around us, and I told her that I was really sorry that she had to watch her favorite band play like one of their favorite songs, and I hope that she would recover, you know. It's just like, it's like, come on, dude. Like they obviously love playing the song and they rocked it, and I love that song, and I love when they play it live. So I don't know, I guess maybe I'm in the minority there, but I'm like, come on guys, this is, I also was getting a little sad at the end because I was realizing I might not see another Fish show this year, and so soaking everything in while I could. But what did you think of the number line, Matt? Like, standard? Did you enjoy it? Do you like the song?
Number line for me is one of those ones. I think the song itself is really good. I love the sentiment that it brings. I'll point out that a lot of those same people who, you know, talk about how awful it is when they see it live are probably the first ones to send a text message or tweet saying happy, happy, oh my friend, to somebody on their birthday. So it obviously, it's been a very meaningful song. I thought that it was a rip-in version because it was at the end of the set. Trey really got into it. And I'll share an exchange that I had with my wife last night on the way home from the show, if only because she makes fun of me for doing the Fish podcast geek thing. But she said, you know, we may not love the song, but Trey was really, really getting into it. And so he must have been thinking a lot about the song, or about the person that the song was written for. And I said, well, that was him. And she said, okay, well, I guess he feels really good about himself right now, which I thought was pretty funny.
Well, you know, it's worth noting that this being relatively local, Tom Marshall was in attendance at these shows, and it's, you know, they're trying out some of the new, presumably they're Trey Tom songs. I don't have official confirmation on that, but at least a couple of these ones that Trey debuted probably are Tom songs. And, you know, he wants to play them for his friend.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, I met Tom. Ed and Matt did too. I think that was the first time I met him. Nice guy. Had a lot of, a lot of people, a lot of local people, a lot of family, and I'm sure that's part of it.
Yeah, this is one of their hometown gigs.
I will say that the hood, Matt, as you said, and we'll play a little bit of that. During Dear Prudence, I was talking to my friend, and it's like, they can't just end on Dear Prudence, right? This is not going to be a one-song encore. And he was like, no way, definitely not. And that's when I felt like, all right, good. Then we got to have a hood coming. And that was just such a great way to close out the two nights.
Yeah, agreed. One other, takeaway, I think, in general that I had floating around was that, you know, regardless of what you think about the show, whether or not it was amazing from start to finish, I think we saw a really important point in the tour last night. Usually somewhere around this point, you know, maybe four or five shows in, something happens to kind of show us that the band has gotten comfortable on stage and that things are going to shift a little bit more in the way of kind of the creativeness that we're all looking for. I thought that the sort of jam running gag throughout the first set was definitely proof of that, that they got real comfortable, and Trey made that comment about, you know, we're just cracking ourselves up thinking about what other songs we could play slow.
Yeah.
I'm really glad you brought that up. I didn't want us to get away with not talking about that. And I think it is an excellent sign. They were having a great time. They're relaxed. They're comfortable with their audience, comfortable with their playing, and you know, maybe not everybody enjoys the gag, but that's, you know, that's the nature of jokes sometimes. But it gave us a, you know, beautiful farmhouse, first ever mics into horn. There was some good stuff there, and of course, another slow llama is always fun.
Yeah, and there was the farmhouse jam was really pretty, I thought. But just mixing up Mike's groove, mixing, and you know, they definitely seemed comfortable. I took my friend it was the second show, who I introduced Matt to him last night, but during Your Pet Cat, he was like, this is a pretty weird song. I feel like they should have, like, I would have waited till later to like get weird. I'm like, nope, that's not how it happens. They're like, they get weird whenever they want, and you know, from beginning to end, which is just a good reminder of that being a unique thing to Fish.
That there is no schedule.
No schedule.
Right.
All right, guys. Well, you know, RJ, I know you're on the road, so we'll let you focus on driving, and we'll let you guys both get back to recovering from the show. Everybody's getting ready, looking forward to SPAC over the weekend. We'll have webcasts to watch, and that'll be fun. And we're going to leave everybody here with couple clips. We're going to play a little bit of that cross-eyed jam as it leads into Friends, and then a little bit of the Harry Hood peak, because why the hell not?
Absolutely. Thanks for joining us, Matt.
No problem. Thanks for having me on, guys.
Oh, of course. Thanks for being here. And that's it. RJ, you got any last words?
No. We'll see you guys on, we'll put out another episode Saturday morning, early afternoon, after the first night is back.
All right, thanks a lot.
Summertime and the living is easy. Fish are jumping and the cotton.